It's recording, I'll say.
Thank you, Rob. Thank you, church. About 40 years ago last month, as a rangy teenager, I headed off to Leicester to look for a wife. Or at least a girlfriend. Not for me, the unlimited worldwide dating apps. No, I had to physically travel 200 miles to attend the Banner of Truth Youth Conference, which some of you will be aware of. Which was a weekend put on by a small Puritan book publishing company where they got a couple of guest speakers to preach most of the weekend, pretty much non-stop actually, to young people from churches of a reformed persuasion. Providentially, between the endless meetings, I got to meet some girls, and one of those was the lovely Lorraine, who became my wife and best friend. Thank you. Now, those of you who are excessively smart will realise that my little indulgent story had two purposes. One, it was designed to capture your attention, because who doesn't like a nice little romantic, old-fashioned love story? And the second one was to promote Puritanism as the truest brand of Christianity. Go to a Puritan conference and you will be forever happy. Pure propaganda, obviously. Now, before I leave that said conference, there was a fiery American preacher that some of you would have heard of, I'm sure Liz would know, Dr. Al Martin. Maybe not. And I guess that he was talking on Romans 12, be not conformed to this world, but rather be transformed by the renewing of your mind, or some such verse. I can't completely recall because my mind was on other things, of course. And he would oft repeat this one line that has stuck with me for the 40 years since. And he said it in a very expressive American accent, which I won't try to copy. But he said, don't let the world squeeze you into its mould. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mould. And it became a bit of a catchphrase for me. And I tried to live by this in the years since then. At any given time since, I would have said, yes, I am striving to not let the world squeeze me into its mould. But I look back now, and I think there were countless times when exactly that happened. I started typically of someone my age, I listened to Radio 1 when I was a teenager, because that's what everyone did. Then I went to Radio 2, and when I became a little bit more mature and a thinking person, I had Radio 4 on in the background, just burbling away with all their particular narrative. So the BBC had me on the radio from when I was 15 to just a few years ago, really, when I just stopped. So in that sense, I was squeezed into the world's mould, watching stuff on TV that once upon a time I would have turned off immediately. Gradually, we know how it works. You start saying, oh, okay, well, I can watch that. I'm mature enough to watch that. And you start to get squeezed into that mould. Or when I was at a previous church that was a bit more liberal, telling that inquirer on a Christian course that creation evolution, that's just a secondary issue, you know, just concentrate on Jesus. Don't worry about the minutiae, the details. Again, just being squeezed into the mould of the world. So in hindsight, in so many ways, I fell prey to the world's propaganda. And no doubt I still do, and I just can't recognise it. So please, if you can see anything in that, please tell me. Not now, and not you, Lorraine, please. But I understood that the devil would feed us lines, much like in the Garden of Eden, where he says, you will not surely die, but you will become as God, knowing good and evil. But maybe I never grasped by what human means it was done and how coordinated and how intentional it was. The Cambridge Dictionary says propaganda, the meaning of it is information or ideas that are spread by an organized group or government to influence people's opinions, especially by not giving all the facts or by secretly emphasizing only one way of looking at the facts. Now, propaganda is everywhere, and I'm just going to run through a few, and it won't be completely exhaustive. And some of them are quite low level, like this one, billboard advertisements, or stuff that you see as you go through any given city. Apparently, you can see up to 10,000 adverts or pieces of propaganda each day. But don't worry, because we only consciously take in about 100 of those. So 100 of those are in our minds as we just walk about a busy city. So that's one way. Television is obviously clearly another way. My grandfather used to refer to the TV aerial as the devil's fork. And lots of Christians seem to realize that the TV was a moral danger when it was coming in back in the 50s, 60s. And yet, in truth, very few resisted that. And my grandfather was one of those who did not resist it. But we know that TV is used massively for propaganda. We know we have adverts promoting consumerism, obviously. And then there's a story coming out now that UK government has confirmed that it holds information yet to be released about influencing storylines in soap operas and narratives covering public health, climate policy, migration, and extremism. Allied to television, of course, is the internet. So we have YouTube influencers and celebrities. And again, we know that those saying the right things get funded, promoted, and those saying the wrong things get strikes, get shadow banned, or deplatformed and demonetized. And this is nothing new. 200 years ago, about newspapers, which is obviously another form, Thomas Jefferson said, "The man who never looks into a newspaper is better informed than he who reads them, inasmuch as he who knows nothing is nearer to truth than he whose mind is filled with falsehoods and errors." So newspapers, I don't think anything's changed in the 200 years since that was said. And then another area is political, in politics, are the spin doctors. And lots of us will remember well the Blair years and Alistair Campbell, who famously or infamously said, "We don't do God." And this is a whole topic on its own, how political spin works. But just one of the things which is kind of a recognised political spin is what they call throwing out the bodies, which is releasing bad news stories during major events or holidays so they get buried. So it's this kind of hiding of the truth. Automated bots. I don't do Twitter or X, whatever it's called these days, but apparently there's lots of automated bots on there that will be used to suggest an opinion is more popular than it really is, or to give traction to some stories and not to others. Things like nudge units. So during 2020, the SPYB, or the Behavioural Insights Team, based in the UK, has over 200 employees now, helping you to make the right decisions in whose opinion? In their opinions. Classic propaganda. The 77th Brigade is the military equivalent, from what I can understand. It's a military non-lethal psychological warfare. Again, using social media to influence and constrain public opinion. The Tavistock Institute of Human Resources, funded by the Rockefeller Foundation, they are well known for their social engineering, and the money that is put into that is used to manufacture consent. Getting a little bit more extreme now, MK Ultra, which is a mind control program that the CIA were officially involved in, used to brainwash and psychologically torture its victims, officially used between 1953 and then it closed in 1973. Lots of people think that's still ongoing, but that's going into the realms of conspiracy, of course, which we can't do, especially not me. But I will mention one thing on that subject. The predictive programming, which some people talk about, or the revelation of the method, which is where you stories get, or films particularly, Hollywood are apparently very good at this, where ideas are put into a film and they are there to prepare you for some future event. So one example of this is the film Contagion, which was released in 2011, which apparently replicates the events of 2020. Has anyone seen that film?
Yeah.
You have. And does that do that, yeah?
It's
pretty much.
Kind of.
Pretty much. Okay. So, they're just some of the things which can happen. So the desire to coerce, manipulate, and herd the masses is very real, often in a desire to keep truth from us and to kind of engineer that consent which the powers that be often need. So in ancient history, the phrase bread and circuses goes back to 100 AD, which refers to the masses being superficially distracted by food and entertainment. And again, I don't think anything much has changed, has there? Now we have McDonald's and football, or McDonald's and soap operas, or whatever. And in more recent history, the title of the father of propaganda is given to somebody. Does anybody know that? Who is the father of propaganda? Sorry? No. It's a guy called Edward Bernays. He's given that title. And this is fascinating in that he was the nephew. So he lived in 1891, lived for over 100 years. And he was the nephew of Sigmund Freud, who was the controversial psychoanalyst. And he is also the uncle to Mark Randolph, who is the co-founder and first CEO of Netflix, which now has the largest reach of all streaming services with over 300 million paid members. So the whole family are involved in the shaping of the mind, the psychoanalyst, the father of propaganda, and then the big Netflix man who has huge amount of control over what people watch and what people think. And the purpose of propaganda, Bernays wrote a book called Just That, Propaganda, and his book begins like this: the conscious and intelligent manipulation of the organized habits and opinions of the masses is an important element in democratic society. Those who manipulate this unseen mechanism of society constitute an invisible government, which is the true ruling power of our country. Our minds mold it. There's that word, molded. Don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. Our minds molded, our tastes formed, our ideas suggested, largely by men we have never heard of. This is exactly how propaganda seems to work. Bernays had an interesting career. He was involved in getting the Americans involved in World War One. He was involved in promoting smoking for women back in the 50s. And a regime change in Guatemala, to name just a few things. But can we see how obviously and utterly this deception is in contrast to the Christian faith? As Christians, we should always be looking for truth. And what we come up against in this world is smoke and mirrors, half-truths, downright lies, and often unreality versus reality. And many examples of this, for example, the abortion, which I know everyone is very clear on, but the baby killed in the womb is abortion, not murder, apparently. Outside the womb, it's murder, but the pregnant mother killed is double murder. So it's this kind of unreality that seems to trump reality. Or during 2020, the £1.99 mask from B&Q was needed during a deadly pandemic to keep you safe. You needed to wear that mask to walk into a restaurant, but as soon as you sat down, you were a bit lower down, you could take that mask off. These things do not make sense. They are unreality trumping reality. And these are just some examples of that. And there's many more, I'm sure, many more people can give me. It's like a sorcerer has cast a spell. And Jesus calls out his opponents, and he states clearly in John 8:44, he states clearly who the originator of lies and deception is when he says, "Ye are your father, the devil, and the lusts of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it." So ultimately, the devil is the father of all the lies, and propaganda comes into that category. So how can we avoid propaganda? Just in finishing up. Number one, resist the devil and he will flee from you. Keep close to God. Don't let the world impress you. Don't let the adverts, the psyops, don't let any of it impress you. It's a trap. It's an absolute trap. So be discerning. Be discerning. Anything you hear, is it true? Check it. Make sure you're clear. Is it true? Second thing, choose your friends wisely. Somebody said, the currency of the future will be relationships of trust. The currency of the future will be relationships of trust. Absolutely right on, isn't it? So can I trust Rob to stand firm if the going gets tough? Yes, I can, because he's done it once. He'll do it again. I know that. Can I trust his congregation to stand firm? Yes, because again, you've done it once, you'll do it again. You know what to expect. So choose your friends carefully. And thirdly, you shall know the truth and the truth shall set you free. Truth is becoming increasingly important. We should never compromise on it for the sake of moderation or more likes. We have to put truth at the very center of everything. So remember the catchphrase, don't let the world squeeze you into its mold. And remember that Puritanism is the truest brand, Christians. Thank you. 17 minutes, I'm sorry, Rob. Okay. 2 minutes over.
I'll let you get away with that. I have a couple of questions, but just anybody else, do you want to go first, man?
So you said you listened to the BBC for, sounds like, most of your life.
Yeah.
What was the turning point? What was the specific thing that...
It was the COVID thing. And I had a really interesting thing, actually, because I used to listen to it in my van. And during this time, suddenly I lost connection on my radio in the van. And I kind of like thought, this is a God thing. Like, and I knew I could have sorted it. I could have put the connection back in. It was in the back, in the roof somewhere. And I thought, no, I'm not gonna do it. You know, this is like God saying, just don't listen to this stuff anymore. And that was it, just like a clean break. So I never went back. So I kind of took that opportunity. And I know during 2020, on the build-up to that, Lorraine and I used to watch, I don't think it was the BBC, but it was Sky or something. We used to watch the news every night, and it was like just so depressing, wasn't it? And so ridiculous that we thought, no, enough. But even before that, there was some kind of build-up. I remember, you know, I used to watch and used to enjoy political satire, so Have I Got News For You, things like that. And there was this kind of gradual realisation that this is propaganda. It was left-wing. But it's kind of almost like, I don't care what side it is, it's like this is a narrative that we're being fed, and, you know, no more. So, yeah. So now I just, for me, BBC is anathema.
Okay. Yeah, progressed on to Radio 5
after that. No, now I just do podcasts.
Banner of Truth.
Yeah. Banner of Truth's still going. I didn't realise it's still going. So yeah, if you want to find your life partner, not a bad option. Yeah, that's a good point. I get my, I suppose you'd call it alternative media. I follow UK Column a little bit, which is a news service with a very kind of strong Christian bias there. And yeah, I like them. But yeah, there are other Because, I mean, you're right, and I do, I have to confess, I do go onto the BBC website. I can't bear the kind of live stuff. But I go onto their website, have a look, see what they're talking about, have a few laughs. That kind of thing. UK column. The UK column.
And obviously Alex Jones.
Well, maybe not Alex Jones, but a bit too much of it. But yeah, anything else?
Yeah, so you mentioned about like what the antidote or how do we avoid it. You sort of stick with the Christian position. But do you have any thoughts on, so back in 2020, I thought, as I'm sure probably all of you here, to some extent, thought that what happened in 2020, this was like the most obvious propaganda we'd ever had. It was like, there were bits of it here and there, you know, but this was just like in your face, ridiculous, stupid, beyond belief, and of course, loads of people, the majority of people in the country just went along with it, hook, line, sinker, but the majority of Christians went along with it. So, what's the reason for that? Does that show that those Christians perhaps don't have a grasp of truth, or is it that their understanding of Christianity is that you put, you know, love is, sort of trumps truth, if you like, and that in their mangled way of thinking, they thought, oh, I must obey all the... I don't know what it is, but do you have any thoughts on why?
I do actually. I was always kind of... My mum, bless her, she used to kind of laud me for being kind of moderate. And at some point, I think during 2020, I realised that moderation, it's okay, but it's not truth, is it? So you have truth here and you have moderation, but moderation can move depending on everybody else and where they're at. And the absolute thing is to go for truth, because that's what the Bible commands us. And sometimes that's really hard, and that makes you very immoderate and unpopular, which we all probably experienced some of that during 2020. But it's kind of, that's what the Bible demands. So you have to put truth ahead of all else. Otherwise, you're just going to be rolling around and, you know, at the whim of who the prevailing mood, which is hopeless and is not what, I don't believe it's what God wants for his people. So, yeah. Well, it's funny because I thought I'd just check if Banner and Truth is still going, and I did, and it's changed from Leicester to Staffordshire now. So you might have to go even a little bit further.
Well, at the age of 15,
though, yeah. He's thinking ahead. That's okay. But yes, I mean, I can highly recommend it. And it is quite—it's amazing, isn't it? I remember, as well as—I mean—the big takeaway from that conference was the rain, obviously. But I still remember, you know, 40 years on, don't let the world squeeze you into its mould, and it's still with me. So that's good, isn't it? So yeah, something to kind of help you through life. Yeah. Yes. I think they would have seen that as part of their Christian duty, was to support what they saw as a reasonably good government. And you know, there is that thing in the UK, isn't there, that we kind of say, well, you know, the government, you know, we're quite blessed here, we're quite lucky with how we've been treated. So yeah, I think that's definitely a point.
What do you think is the biggest trap that we could fall for if we see propaganda? Because for me, it's basically becoming completely switched off or cynical. What is the biggest trap that people can fall into? You know, once you see propaganda, you see it everywhere. You can't.
Yeah.
You see a lot
Right, yeah. Well, no, I think you're right. And I think you, I know I talked about this last time, you can become very black-pilled and think, oh, well, it's all useless, it's all hopeless, everyone's stupid, everyone's against us. And I think it's really important to avoid that. And maybe important to avoid being too hard on people as well. Because, you know, I know lots of lovely people, lots of good Christians that did just go along with it. And I'm not... Yeah. Yeah, mention that in a moment. Yeah, well, say that now then, yeah. Yeah, I think that's the whole thing, isn't it? That we can't lose that sense of love for all those around us. We need to be measured and kind always, but at the same time, not compromising. So it's that kind of strong kind of, I don't like to use the word niceness, but you know what I mean. Just don't be that person that everyone can't stand because they're always right. So we have to kind of, we should be winsome in our... same time, true and steadfast. But getting that right sometimes is quite hard, isn't it? Getting that mixture right. Yeah.
Do you think that they used Romans 13 as their propaganda for the church? Do you
yeah.
think it was like released and
yeah.
I noticed a lot of people that were otherwise pretty solid, I would have thought before that, it's like totally
yeah.
with that.
Yeah, I had a lot of Christians kind of just quote that to me all the time.
Yeah, and like Peter went today as well.
And it's like, well then, and I know Rob has said this, that if you take that to its extreme, then whatever the government says is gospel, is the absolute truth. And that's not right, we know that. We know the governments have lied, various other governments, not just talking about in Britain, but you know, elsewhere in the world. We know there's been loads of lies. It's part of what governments do. So just to kind of use that as a kind of an escape net, you know, it's clearly wrong and a very kind of limited understanding of God's word and of what it means to be Christian, living in, as Rob said today, Christian living in a non-Christian or post-Christian world.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
So the church is very open to propaganda then.
Yeah. I mean, I think amongst the many other things that happened during COVID, it exposed just a complete lack of understanding. Like, as you say, like, if Romans 13 means you must always obey the government, then the government is God. Right?
Yeah.
So it cannot mean that. But
yeah.
they haven't worked this out theologically and weren't even prepared to do that when it sort of
yeah.
came along. And so easy pickings, basically,
yeah.
for
yeah.
propaganda.
Yeah. Yeah.
Very sad. Really
hard,
but. Yeah. Yeah. Remember the simple truth of like somebody going, the guy that wrote Romans 13 was literally martyred by the government.
Yeah.
but not obeying the government.
Yeah.
Like
yeah,
that yeah. same the guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And actually, I think, you know, like, coming back to, like, the text from, like, Peter this morning, where it says, you know, submit yourselves to the authorities. So, like, it's not an absolute. It cannot be an absolute, otherwise the authorities are God. But just the way that... I think Christians make, in 2020 and probably generally a lot, make this leap from... If it says submit to the government, and it says that God appoints the government for good... That must mean that they are doing things for good. which is not what it means at all. It means that God's intention in setting up government is that they should govern for good and punish evildoers and do good to do. But they don't. And that should be really quite obvious. So, Brian, I think they make this leap from, oh, we must submit to the government, to the government must be doing good.
Yeah.
And without ever sort of discerning between those things.
Yeah.
Well, would you say it's more of a like standard? It's like that's telling you this is what government should be like.
Yeah.
And so when it's not being like that, then you know it's not a good government.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's not doing good.
And we should challenge them as much as possible in lawful ways.
Yeah.
So I think that's the whole point of like Paul and Peter, that they're saying don't be anarchists in the way that, you know, you're not to go and blow up Parliament, for example.
Yeah.
Right, okay. But there are other ways that you can do this, really.
Yeah. What happens when it becomes illegal?
This is a point when I had these discussions with many people back in the day. What actually is the law of this land? It's not the government of this day. The law of this land, like, is our constitution, like, and there are four clauses from Magna Carta which are still in existence today as legal. The first one of them basically says that the state does not need to tell the church how to worship. But a state did tell the church how to worship, as in you can't worship. So the government was acting illegally. And I made this point to people who were sort of questioning like the American side of things. American law is not governed by Donald Trump or Congress or the Supreme Court. It's governed by the Constitution of the federal of the United States. But also each state has its own constitution and law. That's what governs it. And almost everything that was done then was contrary to that. So actually the real lawlessness was perpetrated by the government. Cool. Yeah. Any other questions?